with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision radio show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning. Hello. Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Vision radio show. So I have on the line with me Thomas Ackerman. And Tom, I'm going to ask you to call up and call back in about 5 minutes.
Okay.
Because you're echoing pretty bad.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is probably a lot better for you. It is for me, I know. Thank you for joining me. Today is Monday, September 19th, 2016. You're listening to Lonnie Clark with the Age of Vision radio show. And as you know, on Mondays, I talk about the situation in St. Louis, whether I have a guest on or not, because it is a catastrophe that our country is ignoring. I reached out to C.D. Stelzer. I suppose that he is too busy. I'm looking at their post from September 16th on the Westlake landfill. He did not respond to me, but this is probably why, because it's on a road tour. Next stop to the first Secret City road tour, SIU Edwardsville, Tuesday, September 20th at 5 p.m., room 2304 Peck Hall. If you live in this Metro East, this is your chance to see the documentary, and the campus is minutes away from North County via I-270. So they are showing their documentary, First Secret City, the First Secret City, around the St. Louis area to get people to understand there. So I had invited Thomas on, and I hope Tom will call back. I had invited Thomas on to co-host with me because I did not get back any response from people from St. Louis that I reached out to be on the radio. And granted, it's not a lot of people, but the fact is it's their city, and I'm not giving up whether I have people on the air or not. I understand they're busy. They may not like the show. They may not like the fact that I cuss. They don't want to be on the air, whatever it is. I don't get it. But then again, I'm not living there, and it's not my city, and I'm not. So it's still a catastrophe. It's still America. They're still our city. They're still our brothers and sisters. And we still have an obligation and a moral duty to help them and to demand our government put emergency funding into St. Louis. Pass a House Bill 4100 that is still stuck in committee, folks. So you need to be calling your representatives and saying, look, I don't know if you're on the committee or not, but call up the committee. Demand that your representatives call the committee and pass this House bill. Explain. I know my congressman didn't know anything about it or knew very little about it. The woman at the phone didn't. Keep calling. demand, and call the Congress people, you know, that are on the House committee. The environment. Look up House Bill 4100. Okay, I'll do that for you right now. I'll do it just as we speak because we have a little bit of time before I move on to these the Westlake Landfill page information, because it is shocking what's going on there. And I also want to talk about Dana Durnford, who I guess they call him a nuke mongerer. You know, we're called nuke mongerers, people who want to talk about nuclear pollution. We're not mongering the fear of nuclear. Nuclear harm is real. We have a cancer epidemic, folks. Our children are having birth defects and problems, high sterility rates. Did you see the story? Snowman pear from Fukushima. They have a Japanese farmer, face fuzzed out in the background, focused on a pear. It's not a snowman, it's a mutated pear, folks. It's a pear that grew another pear, and at the in between where the top of the first pear is, it has leaves growing out of it. This is what the caption says. Farmers are surprised to find this snowman pear-shaped pear. It's about 3 centimeters diameter, the bottom one is, and then at the top, leaves are growing from the hollow. They don't mean the hollow. It's like there's a pear, and then leaves are growing out of it, and then another pear grew on top of it, and then a stem. It's not possible to have leaves on a fruit. I wonder why, said Mr. Soto, who found this pear. You know why he has to sound like such a complete dumbass? Excuse my language. It's illegal for him to talk about radiation in Fukushima, folks. There's a secrecy law in Japan. They can't really mention it. He'd get in trouble if he said this is caused by Fukushima. It's illegal to say radiation is caused by Fukushima. There's a secrecy law. And what is the name of the movie that we are encouraging you to go see in St. Louis? If you are anywhere near St. Louis and you hear the sound of my voice, please go see C.D. Stelzer's First Secret City. C.D. Stelzer is a journalist, a real journalist, not some fake wannabe journalist. He's a real journalist who does real reporting, and he's been reporting on this for a long time. And they did this thing several years ago, First Secret City, and they found out so much. I have seen clips of the First Secret City, and it is unbelievable. So, Westlake Landfill. And Thomas Ackerman, if you're listening, please give us a call. Phone number 718-717-8296. Let me see if I could properly link you in. So the First Secret City, I guess they are taking it around. I just clicked on a story that C.D. Stelzer, well, let's see if he's attempting. Tom?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. You linked right in because I had you linked in already. Yay. Thank you for joining us again.
It's a pleasure, Lonnie. Good morning.
Good morning. So I'm going on. I really want to talk about the Westlake Landfill. See, this is my idea with Dana Durnford. I'm just going to spill the beans. I haven't even talked to Dana, but I sure do hope he's up for it because I love his manner of research. I want him to, as C.D. Stelzer investigated St. Louis and he created this documentary. If anybody hasn't seen this clip, The First Secret City, if you are at all concerned about nuclear pollution, you must see this clip. I wish I could see this movie. You know, I looked into bringing it to Eugene. They wanted $2,500 to bring it to the theater. I'm like, you know, if I had more beans, I probably would have given it to them gladly. You know? But yeah, that's a little bit above my budget. The First Secret City. So they're playing this. This is why, I imagine this is why he didn't respond. I send him a couple of a thing to come on, and he's taking it around. He's on a road tour around St. Louis. He's bringing this all around to people there.
What's the film covering? What is the cover?
Oh, you don't know about the, okay, well, I will actually open it up. Hold on just a second. Let's see where to go. First Secret City. Well, let me finish with this story. Was Westlake Landfill a nuke dump site before 1973? This was written September 18, 2016 by C.D. Stelzer, Stella Maris Productions. A 1981 report prepared for the Nuclear Regulatory Agency raised more questions about the origins of the radioactive waste at the controversial Westlake Landfill supersite, including who dumped it and when. No doubt exists that B&K Construction hauled more than, listen to this, 40,000 tons of radioactive material from Cotter's Corp. Laddie Avenue storage site in Hazelwood, Missouri, and illegally dumped it in Westlake Landfill, Bridgeton, Missouri, between July and October 1973. 40,000 tons of radioactive material.
That's a lot.
40,000, that's a lot. But a 1981 government report obtained by the Environmental Archives now suggests some of the nuclear weapons waste at the landfill was quietly disposed of earlier. 45 years later, it remains a mystery where the latter nuke waste originated or who dumped it.
I'm looking at the secret city, the first secret city, the map. It's got a circle around it. I see it.
This is the thing. I went to the Westlake Landfill right when, you know, the phone call dropped. Because I had this plan. I wanted to read this. Because he's taking this around. The clip is so compelling. I really wish if I could... Yeah, I actually at one point thought, well, I'll just fly to St. Louis just to go see the movie. I thought, what? No, that's a huge, talk about a footprint, right? No, can't do that. But he wrote this story about the what happened. I mean, was it really, who really dumped it? This is really amazing. The NRC reports the secondary is at least 10 years older in 1981, and no one had any idea what radioactive material might be present there. If that timeline is correct, it means two large volumes of radioactive waste were secretly dumped at the landfill at least 2 years prior to B&K arriving on the scene. Oh, you know what? I accidentally skipped two paragraphs. Listen to this.
Well, yeah.
Let me read it so you'll get this full story. This is just, and then we'll talk. The report released under the Freedom of Information Act is based on a 1981 site investigation by the Radiation Management Corps, a nuclear regulatory commission contractor. The report states that the then landfill superintendent recalled with certainty that the Laddie Avenue waste was disposed on approximately 2 acres in the southern portion of the landfill. Vernon Furr, the superintendent who had first-hand knowledge of the landfill operation for the time periods in question, also said with certainty that none of the radioactive materials from Laddie Avenue were dumped in the other contaminated part of the landfill, which is comprised of approximately 8 acres in the northeastern section. So that means this is the superintendent. He knew exactly where he dumped it.
Right.
He's the guy who did it. And here's, well, he actually has a copy of the original. Wow. What is this?
As a child, he apparently had a ringworm on his scalp that he received, according to this article, something like 353 röntgens of radiation, ionized radiation, through this ringworm, which must have been radiated from the material you're talking about.
What article are you reading?
I'm reading The Seltzer by C.D. Seltzer. He writes about, I'm not sure if it's, it's about that city, the secret city.
Are you on the home page right now?
I'm on, I don't know what this page, it's firstsecretcity.com, yes.
The home page, okay.
And, yes, and he outlines his affliction as a child when he was treated in St. Louis and received... apparently, he received huge doses of what they call röntgens, which is another way of describing radiation. I believe it's ionizing radiation, the röntgens. They have so many different names for it, like sieverts, millisieverts, Rentgens, X-rays, but all comes
this
out.
This is the thing. Everybody there is going to be affected. People, they paid for Dr. Helen Caldicott to come there, and they blatantly, she literally said this place should be evacuated. They looked at, I don't know how they responded, but to be honest, that's exactly what she said. The government should be evacuating this place immediately. And I think that is really, this is why I cannot stop and just go, oh, well, it's like Flint. No, it's not like Flint, folks. This is way worse than Flint. I think this is way worse. We've never had an area where we're just allowing people to live in a radiated dump zone.
You
the
can't
smell.
Go to
the Westlake landfill page, honestly. And the people, there's honestly, I have actually fallen in love with the people of St. Louis. I get why they can't move away and why they don't want to. They want our government to fix this. And it is easily fixable if we poured some money into it. They can clean it up and at least take it away, and people could continue to live there. We do have that technology, especially with phytoremediation. If you stop the dump site, you take the poison away, you put it far, far away from where people live, and then you use phytoremediation, you can remediate it, and people can live there as well as you can live in any other city in the Northern Hemisphere, because we're all pretty radiated.
You're talking about a scientific, you're talking about something that has been tested to be able to stop the radiation. Is that what you're saying? What is it called?
Well, Thomas, I'm going to have to scold you. Phytoremediation. I've had Scott on. Well, you've heard him. He's on my show. Scott from St. Louis, he's got phytoremediation. In fact, they've added, they've added an electrophytoremediation where they can't remediate the air, but what goes into the ground, we can remediate. We can remediate the soil. You can actually remediate people's soil and send the radiation to the canif plants or the hemp plants. Because there's a lot of plants, in fact. It's not just those, but those work really well. Canif works really well. It absorbs very quickly, and you can remediate it quickly. It grows quickly, and you can recycle it. And they developed a system where you can put it in this container, put some things on it, and electromagnetically generate the radiation to go to this source where they can, it actually generates electricity for the four households that it works on.
From what? From a heat? From a heat
from
source?
The radiation, yeah. They have this little machine where they're generating, they're remediating the radiation. They're refueling it. And now it's not, they don't believe that they'll be able to get a lot because the plants are going to be remediated right in the soil, right? And it takes a long time. But as it's remediating, electromagnetically remediating, it will fuse off some nuclear energy, right? So it's going into... Go look at...
There's something. I personally have a great deal of doubt. Anything to do with radiation of anything, I have no trust. I think we're...
Well, you and a million other people, which is why I like you to co-host with me, because you will give a different idea. But Scott from St. Louis is conducting a one-year project. Him and the scientists have developed a plan. They're looking for grants. They have a good chance of getting this last grant that they've applied for. And they're just, or he's looking for a private funder. If anybody out there thinks this is an idea, it's not that much money that he's looking for. He's been on my show many times. You can, call me and I'll give you his phone number, because it's an idea that has been proven. All three methods that they've combined have been proven to work individually.
It's a natural way. What you're saying, he has figured out a natural way to remediate the pollution from radioactive materials.
That's exactly right. Well, it's not a natural way. It is a
plant.
It's a plant. Yes, I guess you call it a natural way. But they're going to do it very safely. Like, they're building greenhouses in the back, and they're going to always have two people, because you're dealing with radioactive materials, to go in fully covered in suits when they're dealing with the remediated plants. It's a really, they have done this so well. He's reached out to the right people. They've really done a lot of really good things. So I believe that it's going to work, and this is the point of my show. This is why I want to talk about it. I believe that we can find solutions. And when people say they don't want to know, look, I think people know. They want to know. They don't want to live in fear. People don't want to live in fear. We want to live with solutions and ideas. I believe that as humans, we can create the ideas. Consider we only use 10% of our brains. And we do know about sound healing. I intuitively think that with sound healing, with just a lot of it, like the electromagnetic is really at a high level sound, right? It's the same thing.
Okay, you know,
we can do.
Just like we talked about, you know, my level of optimism has been reduced greatly over the last
Wayne, yes, I know this.
Yeah,
well,
but
look, this is why I also want to talk about Dana Durnford, because to me, Dana Durnford has done some magnificent work, and to know that there's a person who has been willing to just go out and take pictures and show the world what's really up there, that was courage. And he had came back, and unfortunately, Canada had just passed a law that they are attempting to use against him, and hopefully he will be able to beat it. On his page on January 10th, 2015 on Spider Island, British Columbia, Canada, Dana Durnford took a picture of a very beautiful animal, a starfish, with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 legs, but another starfish growing right on top of it, right on the top of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, if you don't think we are being bombarded, we have no seals. And, you know, very few starfish. It's all going away. I know the anchovies are gone. You know, the fish that we're getting caught have sores, white skin. I mean, you can hide white skin on a salmon, folks. Yeah, you can catch a lot of salmon, but do you want to eat salmon with white skin? Or lesions in them?
My conversation with you, usually, Lonnie, and with other people as well, is against the odds, why is it that we keep going? This is an interesting thing for me, because human beings are an anomaly. Maybe not in the larger sense, but in a micro sense, like individual human beings are anomalies, because everything says, shut the fuck up, go away, it's okay, and just go ahead with your life. But then there are always people that just won't take that. I mean, you know, as a painter, I've been doing paintings for a long time, and a lot of my paintings people don't want to see. You know, they don't want to look at, but I don't stop making them, you know. And I think this is like with your activism as well. There is probably as much or more, what would you call that, antagonism toward you, and people not wanting to be talking to you and all that. But, you know, you continue. You're an anomaly. You're probably more of an artist than, I don't know, activism is being artists. Like true activism, I think, is a form of art, actually.
Life is art. That's the thing. I don't know how people can give this up. But you see, I do see how people don't recognize it. You know, even as I go to Dana Durnford's page, and the reason I'm talking about Dana Durnford, folks, is today is the 19th. He is going to go to court up in Canada. We hope it'll finally be settled over the next few days. And he actually does need contributions. He's a citizen activist. He's not a rich person. He has been vilified publicly in both the media, regular media, and on the YouTubes. There are some very malicious things said. Much of it, I don't know. I don't listen to half of it, but I will tell you this. His work is undeniable. I've interviewed him many times. He didn't take advantage of anybody to get this boat. I knew all about it. I was involved in that. In fact, I contributed a few $100 for him to go. You know, regularly, every few months, I'd send him $100. That's how he got there. He had several thousand listeners. A few people gave him larger checks, but he didn't rip anybody off. And it's a bunch of bull to say that he is out there using people, trying to scare people, maligning the facts, because Dana Durnford is not maligning the facts. If you take a look, just look at the pictures. We have a devastation going on in our coast, in our lives. It's like...
Equivocal. The pictures speak for themselves. No matter what anybody says, the pictures speak for themselves. And the level of dedication. Now, I have to say this about Dana. That's very important to understand. And I understand it from a personal point of view that I have always, the adversities that I face in terms of my own commitment to doing something as an artist is very similar to what I recognize in Dana, the commitment, the complete total, he ignores on a certain level, he's able just to put aside all the adversarial obstacles and challenges against it, and he continues, considering he's in a wheelchair most of the time. This guy has an affliction. He's not somebody that is, firing on all cylinders physically. He has that to deal with. On top of it, he has this incredible commitment. I mean, I find this extraordinary, Lonnie, when I think about Dana, and I've tried to formulate in my mind a kind of picture of him. I probably have to do a portrait or a full painting of the guy. But this kind of commitment speaks to me. It says something to me, like all the artists in history that have, no matter what, made the work. I find this so encouraging and optimistic in to have human beings like that walking on the planet. I just love that guy. I mean, he's, and especially the nuclear bunch, the syndicate that runs the show with all the, the PR firms that I've been subject to and
Blanche. Just look at the Fukushima pictures on page 7 of his page. Go to thenuclearproctologist.org, thenuclearproctologist.org, and go to his, it says sections page. Scroll down in page 7, he has all of them. I mean, look, none of this is exaggerated, and if people don't realize, it's worse than ever. This poor man, I feel so sorry for the Japanese. Honest to God, this man in the background, no doubt he's grateful his face is fuzzed, because he sounds like such a complete dumbass. I wonder why. They know why. They're not allowed to say why. It's illegal to talk about radiation in Japan. That is really the summation of it. But you know what? It's not illegal to talk about it here and on the West Lake. This is the thing. This is why I want Dana to look into the Columbia Generating Station, because we need someone to dig, like Don Chapman and her. People out there are digging, and they are keeping after this. Don Chapman, September 12th article, says, and these are the people we have the EPA protecting our kids. Do you think they take their job seriously? Check out the signature line at the bottom. And the title is Too Many Clowns, Not Enough Circuses. And it says, you can't make this stuff up. That's the title of the EPA. I'm going to pull it up. Okay.
This is an
email, a leaked email, 24-hour spill line, too many clowns, not enough circuses. That was the name of the leaked email.
Good one.
Wow.
Yeah. But, Lonnie, what I was trying to say about, I hear what you're telling me and Dana's pictures and all that, but, the impact of this person is even beyond that for me, how he encourages me to continue with whatever that I'm meant or able to do, whatever that is. You know what I'm saying? It's like people come to this through the information, but I come to this through a spirit that this person carries. It's like, it's part of this mystery that I so appreciate and why I don't want to give up on things, because it's so incredible, and he communicates that love of the mystery. And I mean, he was on the water for how long? 15 years he was a diver. So
honestly, watching where he went up and down, it blew me away. The section, when you go to page 13, it shows you the section that he went. Over 200 kilometers of Canadian coastline are bare. He documented that himself on a little tiny, honestly. When he says he lost his wheelchair, he did lose his wheelchair. I remember that night. I followed his video stream. You know what I mean? This is the thing. Like, the people of St. Louis, we're watching this before our very eyes happening. We're watching snowman from, we're watching the news actually report a, instead of the story being this poor farmer cannot talk about radiation, he has to sound like a complete idiot, they report this story. That's what really is annoying. You know, we don't have journalism. Even the anti-nukes. This comes from Nuclear News, the news that matters about the nuclear industry. Nobody, I mean, where's Greenpeace on this? People are like, oh yeah, Greenpeace is so great. Really? This is happening. We know it's happening, and Greenpeace is picking its nose. I mean, honestly, it's annoying.
We're setting ourselves up for a total systemic failure.
No, we're not setting ourselves up, Thomas. It's here. We're not saying, this is the point. I mean, this is what I said to Mimi Gurman yesterday. She's like, well, you know, it's going to be, we were talking about, people think it's going to be bad if Trump, it's bad already. In the United States, we house more people than, we imprison more people than any country in the free world. Even more than China, we imprison more of our population per capita. This is our cops shoot people. They harass people. People live in fear. Our government can come in and out of our house. They can spy on us on our cameras. They're instigating wars. We have a military. We had dogs go to the pipeline and bite a child, and nobody got indicted.
So if it's here, Lonnie, why are you bothering?
Because we have to stop them.
Okay, stopping means there is a chance. That's what I'm saying.
Of course there's a chance. Of course
yes,
there's a chance.
It's
but
here.
But my point is that it's not coming, folks. It's here, and it's time for everybody to stop pretending. See, people are awake. They're just afraid to admit the reality of what's going on.
Well,
it's not
we don't
that
see.
People don't want to know. It's like they don't know what to do. That's the thing. What do we do? Well, what we do is we just demand change. We talk about the reality and change the conversation, because we're not going to get them until they admit the facts. Like, we have beached whales. We have a beached whale that beached up in New Jersey, and they said that it was emaciated. They think it died from human. This was hilarious. The story was so funny. It died from human interaction because they think it was emaciated and hit a boat. So that's what killed it, and it was floating around. But it was an emaciated. Why was it emaciated? They're not going to test that thing for radiation. If they tested it for radiation, I bet you the level of radiation in that whale is so high.
But I have to disagree with you on it's here, because if I don't see a whale out, I'm in the middle of the country, I don't see a whale, right? People don't see the whale. So they don't think of, when you say it's here, it doesn't connect. But what's here, what I guarantee, is every single household in my neighborhood has had either an encounter with cancer or a death, more likely a death with cancer. That's what's here. That's what's here. So, you know, when we talk about the Pacific Ocean, I live in Ontario in the Great Lakes. That's the biggest body of water on the planet, too. I mean, as the lake is concerned. But we don't see it's here part yet. This is the thing. We can't suspend ourselves through our even imagination or our trust in something, because we've divorced ourselves from that inner feeling of knowledge, of knowing. You know, I know, but most people don't see it as being here. But what is here are the epidemics in child cancer. This is something you can see in our neighborhood. Like I said, every single household, every single neighbor has either died or has had an encounter with cancer, or is having an encounter.
Including your household, Tom?
Yes, actually, Maria's had a cancer, yes. And
wow.
She went, this was a while back, and she radically changed her lifestyle. She went into deep tissue cleansing, the Bernard Jensen technique of cleaning out and dieting, and she beat it without any intervention from medical, the chemos and all that stuff. So yes, and my father died of myeloma. It's a vicious disease. I think it's called myeloma of the spine. My mother died of intestinal cancer. Yes, and there's like in my family, it's yeah, lots of them. So this is something that's an epidemic. But what really troubles me, Lonnie, is the level of illness, disease, cancer in children. This is something that's not being acknowledged by people. This is what they can see. They don't see the beached whale, but they know that friends of theirs, their child, has a brain cancer or has leukemia. What the hell is that?
Or a weird birth defect, like a very rare birth defect, like very rare birth defects. You hear them all the time, like, where are you? Like, but this is the thing, the denial. There is no discussion that radiation, everything that we ever hear about radiation, Tom, has to do with the cost. We never talk harm. They always, it is the 90% rule. Deny radiation causes harm. Underreport the negative effects by 90%. We are sticking with it. That's why it's so important for us to acknowledge it and say, it's not just, we need to acknowledge the lies, the social engineering. I mean, I think that a lot of the reason that the moms from St. Louis don't talk on our show is I'm very anti-nuclear, and I am very like, screw the government. Like these, I mean, I do call the government on a regular basis, and I'll be honest, I often don't treat them with respect. They don't deserve my respect. I call them up and say, wait a minute, what are you doing? You know, like, I'll be nice to you, but, you know, I tell Ron Wyden's office, I said, you know what I call him? I'll tell you straight up what I call him. Go along to get along, Ron, because I've never seen a vote he didn't like. He goes along with whatever the Republicans want most of the time. He will say no, no, no in public, and then when it gets down to it, he votes with them. Just, this is why we have the Unpatriot Act in our country. This is why our country has gone astray. We do not have a government anymore. It's whatever the military wants, the military gets. I mean, really, that's it. We are a militarized nation. We do not have a democracy. Our elections are rigged. I mean, we all know this. This is not even a conversation anymore. I remember, do you remember back I had a guest on, Richard McKintaw? He's a guy who had the fracking. His farm was decimated by fracking, and he laughed at me on the air about the elections. I think he's right now. 6-7 months later, I'm like, dang, man. I mean, I've had a come to Jesus moment, you know, in this last year. Does it really matter? And I've had people say, well, Trump's going to solve the problem because he's not, he can't be influenced. You know, it's fascism. Right now, we have the, Don Chapman posted on September 16th, the sinkhole sends radioactive water into the Florida aquifer. Did we hear that on television? At least, now they're telling us at least 215 million gallons of contaminated water has now drained into the aquifer.
Wow.
Uh-huh. 200 in Florida. And it's a sinkhole. And you know why they're not telling us? Because a sinkhole is really almost scarier than the radioactivity. Because you know what they know? The land in Florida is sinking. Bye-bye. Yeah. It's all going away. They've stopped the jet stream. The reason that Europe is having floods, the whole thing, the pollution, that big oil leak that they had several years ago. They put so much Corexit in the water. The oil leak was so bad. They did it so, so wrong. They actually messed up the jet stream. The jet stream is now slower than it used to be.
Well, that chemical stuff is sitting at the bottom of the Gulf. It sank down, right? So it killed everything at the bottom of the Gulf floor there, I bet. Like there's nothing left there from that Corexit stuff. Whatever that was a weird thing too. By the way, that didn't look like oil to me, that red stuff. It was something else.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Whenever they released, when they dug down that far, you know, these people have just absolutely no comprehension of how everything is connected. The plates, the earth plates, you go
Wait
down.
Wait a minute. Listen to this story, Thomas. I have to interrupt you here. The story on the contaminated sinkhole. Let's listen to the facts they're giving us in this story, okay? First line, I'll just read two things. Officials say a massive sinkhole in Florida has allowed millions of gallons of radioactive water to pour into one of the world's most productive aquifers. Skip down a few feet, it says, since then, about 215 million gallons of contaminated water, which we assume is the radioactive water, used to process fertilizer has drained into the hole. So we're saying that 215 million gallons of contaminated radioactive water? Or see how confusing this story is?
Yeah. yeah.
Because they're not saying is that millions has allowed millions of gallons of radioactive water to pour into the world's aquifer. The sinkhole was found by crews in the containment pond at the New Wales Mosaic plant in Mulberry on August 22nd. A field technician found the water level has dropped at one of the ponds, and upon investigation found a 45-foot hole with seemingly no bottom. 45-foot hole.
That's scary.
Since then, about 215 million gallons of contaminated water used to process fertilizer has drained into the hole. So we use our contaminated water. And this is something I have been saying that people have told me I was so wrong on. In the United States, we use the sludge from our power plants as fertilizer. Most countries use it to line the bottom of their freeways and the sides of the highways. The United States, we did a bill, it's part of the Farm Bill. I couldn't believe it. We use the sludge from our water process. With all the pharmaceuticals, all the GMO, God knows what's in there. We only regulate 60 chemicals in this country.
Well, isn't that the whole geoengineering? What they're spraying is the waste. There's probably ash, fly ash from coal plants and all that. The particulates are being sprayed in order to get rid of them, right? This is what they do. They use the entire atmosphere as a garbage dump. Weird. And in our area, in our town, they actually use human waste as fertilizer now. Did you know that? That's what they're doing. And I know they're doing it because they have a special...
That's what this is. 15 million gallons of contaminated water was used to process fertilizer that has drained into the hole. You know what they do? And I'll bet you they do it here. They're using the waste from these power plants. Wow. This is so outrageous.
Any waste, you know, how do you get rid of it the cheapest way? It's just to dump it on large tracts of land, and they're doing it in my town here. They're using, and people are using so many, they're so medicated with all the pills they eat, it all goes into the sewers, right? And they're using that to fertilize the fields. It's just outrageous, I find it. But Lonnie, my question for you again is about... Is it here or isn't it here? What is it that's going to make people feel it's right on their front door? If it's a whale in the Pacific, my town doesn't give a crap about that if it's a whale in the Pacific. But if it's on our front step somehow, that's where it's going to start to hit. That's just how people work, I think. You got to figure out how to impact it in a way that people can absorb it, that it's happening to them. And I think the cancers that are happening, they've been able to divert people from realizing or understanding that it's connected to the nuclear pollution that is getting so ubiquitous on the entire planet. This is the fallout. The cancers, like Dana says, it's the last thing that shows up. And all the diseases that are connected to it come from this, obviously, many chemical pollutions, but the nuclear is the jewel in the crown. But... how does somebody convince it's happening right now? Like you know, like I know, it's happening. It's happening. It's not going to happen. It's happening. But somebody there still.
Well, yes, I'm just pondering what you said to me, actually. And I'm thinking about Dana Durnford. He certainly knows it's happening.
Boy, does he know.
He's really being made an example of, really, that's honestly. I mean, I'm going to encourage people to go to Dana Durnford's webpage called thenuclearproctologist.org. Take a look around, and if you feel compelled, please, if you can afford it, even $25 helps him. Everything helps when you're having to face legal challenges. Just to get where he's going to go costs him several hundred dollars, just to get there and back, because it's inconvenient for where he lives compared to where he has to go to court. And to be honest, he's the only person who has even attempted to document the coast. I did sponsor Kevin Blanche to walk up and down the coast, but you know, Kevin really has a nuclear brain and is a bit autistic. He took some videos that were awesome, but nothing. I mean, nobody has gone 15,000 miles.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, nobody has done the magnitude of effort that, and Dana attempted at first to go with his friends because who wants to go out on the ocean by yourself? But he ended up having to go by himself because their vessel was just too freaking small for a bunch of people.
I also,
it was expensive. It was really expensive for three men to be on the road. So a lot cheaper for him. And actually, he talks about this often. Since his disability, he eats once a day because really, what does he do? He does, his body just lays there. So he just eats once a day. So it's cheaper for him to be on the road.
You also have to know people that are sticking their neck out like that, it's not easy to associate with those people because you'll be targeted as well. That there's going to be a campaign and there's going to be a blowback on people that actually support someone like Dana in his activities. There's going to be back. Now, I suspect he has some very dear and close friends that aren't affected by it. But I can see, I mean, I've lost subscribers and people that send me notes and emails based on this whole PR campaign against us, you know, Blanche, the Calgary thing and all that. That has had a blowback.
Oh, that's beyond what our listeners know about. This is kind of like a YouTube fight that he's referring to. There's some people on YouTube. All of us are YouTubers, all these people he's referred to, and Some there's been some videos that says that Dana Durnford used some person up there to make money off him when actually the guy contributed money to his boat. So there's been some very malicious attacks against all of us, actually.
And yes, I just said,
but I'm not going to give them voice here, Tom. I want to move on. I'm not going to give that voice because I go gray on that. The maliciousness of the nuclear industry, what they say about us is nothing what they're doing to us. Look at St. Louis. Look, I mean, they put a story up. How truly dedicated is Senator Blunt to the Westlake cleanup? Senator Blunt's son works for Republic Services, who is fighting them to get this cleaned up. So his son works for the people who are harming the city. He's a senator. I don't give a crap what people say about me on YouTube. No offense. This is what's important. Dana Durnford's life being threatened and maybe being sent to jail. Just the fact that he has to spend money being in court, defending himself for being a human being. The fact that C.D. Stelzer has to save him and his Angela Carrick, they worked for 5 years on this documentary, did an excellent job. I've interviewed some of the people in this movie, and they have done an excellent job, but these people have had to dedicate their lives. Why? For the same reason, the nuclear secrecy. That's why I refuse to shut up. You know what? It is killing our planet. Since they discovered nuclear, they said, oh, this is too good for everybody to know about. It's too harmful. So we're just going to harm everything and everybody, and no one will notice. And by the time they do notice, there isn't jack they can do about it. And bada bada bing, here we are 80 years later. As you say, your entire neighborhood has cancer. Our kids, cancer's the number one killer. And we have snowman pears, and nobody is, like, outraged. I mean, where is Greenpeace on this? I'm going to, you know, seriously.
In the scheme of things, I think there are very few people of integrity. And Dana talks about this, actually, as having been defunded.
Well, let's just change that meme.
Yes.
This is the thing. This is why we have the capacity. As humans, we use less than 90% of our brains, probably. I mean, we have the capacity to grow and be better and be more humane.
And less than 1% of our hearts.
We do not. And it's because, you know what, just like this story with Senator Blunt, his son has a freaking great job working for some chemical company, and they need it, but there's a lot of politics, and it's not even just politics, it's the military. That if we do not acknowledge that we have a militaristic fascist state, that unless these people are willing to acknowledge it, I mean, it's just going to continue. I mean, they don't care what we say, obviously.
I had dinner.
No one hears us. This is the thing. In this regard, what happens is, like our little radio show, our friends hear parts of it. They hear some of it. But they're like, yeah, well, we know. But then what happens, this is what Richie Allen says, you know why they don't want to hear the rest of it? Because what do you do the next day once you know? You know why? The next day you can't be the same.
Yeah, you have to change your life. I mean, you've changed your life. You talk about that in terms of understanding how you were convinced that it wasn't a problem until you realized what a bunch of hooey they were shoving down our throats, and your life changed. You're on the air 3 times a week.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know why I find sometimes, the way I think about it, I had dinner with a collector last night and a friend of his who's kind of always worried about how much money he spends on anything, but he'll spend $10,000-$15,000 on a trip, and then he'll argue about how much a pint of milk is or something. Anyway, I think there is an aspect of triumphalism that has kicked into people's minds, especially in the developed world. Like, we're the winners on the planet somehow, and they can do nothing wrong. I mean, we're winners, right? It's that Martin Sheen thing, winning, right? This kind of nutty concept about who we are in the society we live in, like we actually succeeded. It's the opposite. We've failed totally.
Miserably, yes.
But people still attach themselves. This was an argument going on that, you know, Cuba is like in the shitter. And I said, well, Cuba has the best medical and educational system on the planet, I think, one of the highest. How can you denigrate a country? You know, the Americans are now going into Cuba. I think McDonald's will set up there something. What a tragedy that is. Anyway, the idea of a triumph.
That's why they opened it up. Let's just be clear. They opened it up because they have lots of doctors. Cuba is not the whole thing about the Cuba thing, Tom, it all goes back to the secrecy, the nuclear secrecy. It's all about money. We are assets on a balance sheet, and they know it's really bad. And the only way we're going to get out of it is by us deciding we're going to all speak up. This is why I encourage people to contribute to Dana Durnford.
I agree.
I did it myself. I squeezed out a bit of beans for Dana this past weekend because he's going to need it. It's hard to go into court. He has money to spend that just to get there. I mean, he's a handicapped person, and he's a citizen journalist.
And he's willing to do it. He said he doesn't want to do it, but nobody else is, so he's willing to do it.
It's like me. Do we want to do this? Well, actually, you know what? I do. We do want to do it. I mean, I think that's a misnomer. We'd rather be doing something else. We'd rather have the planet not be facing this. That's what we mean by we don't want to do it.
Yeah, but he means that he doesn't need to be in the spotlight. That's what he means. He doesn't.
And we also don't want to have our entire lives modified and changed. I'm on the radio, like you said, 3 times a week. I'm talking about the Westlake landfill page when people there are too busy running their lives, working on a local level to be on a radio show that doesn't really impact St. Louis. Yeah. I'm sure if I was like a local St. Louis, maybe I could work with them, like a community service station there or something. But I understand why. I mean, for a while I was like, what the heck? But you know what? Like, listen to this. They actually have... if you just go to their page and just read the headlines, Don Chapman hoping to all to see you at the meeting tonight. They had a meeting on September 15th. It says, one of the top things in the decision is to cap and leave the waste in the West Lake in 2008 was 18 times weaker than EPA president. So do you get what that meant? That they decided in 2008 to cap the Westlake landfill and leave it there. Just put dirt on top of it, leave it, cap it, and just leave it there. But what they found was that it was 18 times weaker. The radiation cleanup plan was 18 times weaker than the EPA's precedent. The plan that they did was 18 times less than what was recommended by the EPA.
That was a wishful plan.
It was like the cheapest thing in the world. Let's just leave it there. But even the EPA's precedent standards of what we should be doing for this wasn't even followed at the Westlake landfill. This is why we have such a catastrophe. This is why. And part what they're attempting to do is go through government agencies and make these people do it correctly.
I think so. There's so much hubris within this idea that we have succeeded. I come back to this, the idea that we have succeeded, the hubris within that, to look around and say, we're the winning team, we've done it all, there's nothing we can do that could be wrong. That's what I think has happened to us. And but there's no questioning that at all. If you question it, you're going to be ostracized. The fact that, you know, we haven't won. We went in the wrong direction. Culture isn't working. It's a culture of death, like I say. It's not working. It's not working. So, you know, I mean, wrap that.
Dance well, this on- is the weird part is out. If we need to get science out of corporations, out of science. Right now, what has gone wrong is we have many things that did work. We have lifted people. We have helped change certain things. As a woman, I will tell you what, 100 years ago, I would probably, if I was working, I mean, my child might not get, have to, might have to go to work with me. Children had, we had child labor 100 years ago. I mean, we are making advances, but what's happening is we are having, science is being purchased by results. Like, we do not, we underreport the negative effects of radiation. We underreport the negative effects of GMOs. We underreport the negative effects of pharmaceuticals. We underreport the negative effects of processed foods. The whole industrialized food, that what we have done to our physical body is complete disregard for the life cycle. And that cycle can end. I believe we can reverse it. As Maria found out, she got cancer, and she's like, no, I'm going to detox. I'm going to start living a healthy life. And how many years has she survived cancer?
35.
Exactly, folks. So it is possible. Although the phytoremediation can help absorb the radiation in the air. So there are solutions. There are answers. We can face it. What's happened here is we are not facing it. We're just kicking the can down the road, spending as least amount of money. We're letting science continue to purchase the results. It's that's the outrage. This is where we need. And that gentleman from St. Louis opened my eyes up to how seriously bad the contamination is from the chemical pollutants on our planet. And I almost agree. I mean, in fact, I do agree with him now. They're just as much as a criticality. He believes it's worse. We can have a pissing contest over what's worse. But you know what? They're just as, they are creating just as much of a criticality. It is outrageous what has happened to our planet. And we must demand from the people that have our tax dollars real science. We must demand that science get out of medicine, out of all of these industries, and just stop. They can't fund it anymore. We have to have scientists free to look at results and come up with solutions, because there are solutions that we can find. And we are not assets on a balance sheet. We are human beings with a right to dignity, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, which has been robbed by us from the secrecy of the nuclear cartel. It's time to stop that.
Absolutely. This is exactly, I feel the same way. And what it is that has to happen with this understanding is for each individual just to have a little bit of humility, just a little bit of humility, and let that filter in what you just said. A person needs to let that filter in with a bit of humility, not like some kind of judgment around it.
Look, and we don't need to get into where we have been trained to be haters. Let's just love ourselves, be dedicated to that idea that we and ourselves and our children deserve a future. And we have 20 seconds left. We have 20 seconds left. Please go to the nuclearproctologist.org. Take a look at the page. If you can afford to contribute, please do. He needs our help. Please go to the Westlake Landfill Facebook page. Keep on top of that. Call your elected officials. Every action matters. You matter. We can enjoy our lives and pursue happiness.